This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 336 of the Countdown Podcast, where you get to hear a brown man and a white man fight about other people fighting. My name is Wayne!
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you do not have to. And today, as Wayne has adroitly summarized, we are doing the top 10 hand-to-hand fight scene.
Blam! I mean, hit.
I thought you were going to go, whoop-ah!
Whoop-ah! Yeah, that'd be good.
I might. which we have kind of circled around this topic a couple of times in the very, very early days of the show when no one was listening.
No one.
Not even our mums.
Nope.
We did the top 10 movie fight scenes, but we included anything. So there was sword fighting.
Sword fighting. There, like,
was,
you know,
there was probably...
Guns, probably. Was there guns?
No, I don't know if there was guns, but it was some very loose interpretation of the, like, brief back in those days. And then we did the top 10 movie fight slash conflicts, but it was more character v character.
Right.
And then we do the top 10 things we learned from fight scenes.
Yeah.
Which probably mentions that maybe some of the things on this list have been mentioned at some point, but never have we done top 10 hand-to-hand fight scenes. Now, Wayne, what do we mean by that?
Okay, fine. We did agree on this, and I'll just spit it out here, but I'm sure there's going to be a problem later. Put simply, I said if it is predominantly a fist hand-to-hand fight, right? There could be, you know, a knife or two here and there, but it can't be like more than 20%. Like,
We kind of went 20% rough estimate kind of thing. You know, you're grabbing stuff. Like, I've got a fight scene on very high on my list where it's a long fight scene, bang, 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 different
places. Exactly.
And in one moment, there's two people with weapons against the person who doesn't have a weapon.
Yeah.
And that person takes them out.
And you might argue that that person's hand-to-hand, but not, because it's hand-to-fist, hand-to-fucking gun.
Anyway, point being, we'll be...
Yeah, we've got to go a bit loose on this one, because otherwise it's really
just about
shit.
Every fight scene, someone grabs something in desperation and smashes it against someone's
head. Exactly, and utilizing like your environment to fight is definitely still hand-to-hand, right? It's not like you fucking brought a fucking coffee table to hit someone on the head with. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a weapon.
So yeah, exactly.
Bitch, please.
That would not be fair.
That's right.
Right. All right, so that's the parameters, really. We've already set it out. Very straightforward, straight to the point. Let's do this on the other side of the segment that kicks off every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The Recount, it's time for the mailroom. Paul, what's up?
Just last week's result, really, from episode 335, which was the superior list, or who had the superior list of unfairly maligned Rotten Tomatoes films. So films that had less than 30% of Rotten Tomatoes that we actually considered pretty good.
Yes, far better than that.
Comfortable victory to you, Wayne. Well done, sir. 39 votes to 29 votes in the Facebook list community, the only place you can vote. So head on over there if you want to get involved in this part of the show.
Links in the show notes.
Yeah, unbelievably, as far as I'm concerned. Catherine Guard said, Wayne for the Saint.
Yes!
But only just. I hate Juice Bigelow. Although, honorable mention to Paul for DuckTale sound effect.
Woo.
Yeah.
Did you hear the enthusiasm in that one?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, fantastic.
Apparently, it's not okay to cast your vote based on things other than the list, though. Which I think Catherine was using back against me for some earlier criticism I have given her.
What happened there?
I can't remember the last time she just voted for you for some ridiculous reason. Apparently, it was only good one way, so member of the Wayne voting block. There we are.
Well.
Luke James Human said, I mean, there's absolutely no, obviously no right way to vote here, but if I must, then the criminally maligned lock up just edges it. Another week, another vote for Paul. I probably need to relinquish my Wayne voting block membership card.
Which you never had, sure. Because it doesn't exist.
Well, here's unbelievably a vote for you on this basis. Aaron Dundee said, I actually enjoyed Juice Bigelow, European Gigolo, so much so I still own the DVD. So, vote for Wayne.
Boom! Shake the room.
Matt Evans said, both lists are equally great, but if I didn't vote for Wayne, my wife would subject me to another viewing of her favourite film, The Saint.
Why is everyone down on The Saint? The Saint is the shit, son. It's 90s cinema at its best.
Nicholas Haskins, who's not going to vote for me this week either unless you have the same film on your list. Event Horizon is absolute and complete garbage. Anything Wayne has on his list is a masterpiece by comparison. Easy vote.
Bitch, please.
That's both Wayne.
That's a recording.
That's still irrelevant. And all right, last one. Mary Clement Hill said, I abstain. Rotten Tomatoes was right. Thank you to everyone who got back and voted. Obviously, Wayne, comfortable victory. I think that makes it 15-12-1.
It's been a while.
So it's tightening up as we head towards the end of the year. That's it for this week's recap. Let's get into the episode proper on the other side of this. with you. Is the subject of this week's countdown. Wayne, we've already talked about the parameters.
All take right, us man. Away, good Me? Sir. Yeah? You yeah, sure?
Okay, well, I can go first.
You go, you go, you go.
My number 10 is from a very recent film because there's a lot of recent shit on my list.
That's what I did do! Yeah. I'm going to try and put some recent shit up on this bitch.
My number 10 is the bus fight scene from Nobody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bit well, of
Bob Odenkirk as he's coming out of his shell as Hutch Mansell, a guy with a shady government past. He's been looking for fucking blood early in the film. He's just holding his shit together. And when these thugs get on this normal bus route and seem to set upon a young, attractive woman, he decides he's going to whoop some ass.
Absolutely.
And what I really like about this fight scene is it's not as clean or as impressive as most of the other, in fact, all the other ones really. Yeah. Oh, maybe my number 9 sort of falls in the same category, but everything else is perfect in every punch and kick and whatever else is delivered perfectly.
Yeah.
This one is, he's an older dude up against a bunch of clearly meth head, sort of drugged up dudes, and he gets punched, he gets smashed, he gets stabbed. Hurt. He gets thrown through a window. Yeah, he gets stabbed. Yep, at one point in the fight scene.
No, he
as well.
Catches heaps of blows, man. And there's like people come out behind him where normally the hero blocks the nope, he gets hit. Boom. Yep. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, no,
and
it was
very
big.
For a very confined space like a bus, I think it's also very well filmed. It's a really great scene and one which is in one of my favorite films of the year so far. So, yeah. I guess maybe that's why it's sticking out in my mind. That's why Nobody creeps onto my list at number 10.
It's like when, I think we said this in the review, but like every time he gets hit, it's like he's waking up from being a normal guy and becoming more of a killer. Because he gets a lot of them. But it was cool. I remember thinking to myself, like looking at it going, do I like the fact that he's catching so many hits? And I'm like, I think I do because that's the movie.
It's also a bit more realistic than if you take on five dudes, the chances are you're going to get hit pretty
hard.
You're
going to get fucked up, man. Straight up.
No matter how good a fighter you might be.
Especially those five. Yeah. Okay, cool. Nice one. My number 10. Now, here's where we're going a little fucking different with this one, okay?
As in straight away.
Right. A lot of my picks are based on how cool the fight is or how well choreographed it is, all right? But this number 10 isn't actually on that train. I picked it because I've never spent so long grimacing at a fight scene for various reasons.
Okay.
It's Eastern Promises.
What? The real reason is that Viggo Mortensen has his tackle out.
Dude, there's so much dick in this fight scene. It's basically so fucking Viggo Mortensen is in a bath, like a Turkish bath, I want to say, but it's like it's sauna.
Russian, right?
Russian, yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
For various reasons, two motherfuckers come and gonna kill him, right? And they got these hook ass little fucking weird like fucked up knives, and they just go up and attack his ass. They're fully dressed. He got a towel on. And then when he gets up, towels off, cock out, right? And then what happens is... But what's the stress?
Worth the sound effect of your video.
Well, that's the thing. I actually was sitting there going, oh, they're going to have a naked fight. How are they going to cut around his cock? They don't cut around his cock, right? So that's there. On top of that, the little knives, he gets cut so many times. It's actually really, it's like horrible. He only just overcomes the two motherfuckers by impaling one's head against that knife on the floor and fucking them all up and doing that kind of shit. So I remember going...
So he's a hand-to-hand versus knife fight, basically.
It is, but mostly like he disarms them, so it's fight. Yep. But it's like a real ugly-ass fight, man. It's like not tight. So on purpose, I quite liked it, and hence it hits my number 10.
Fair enough. Yeah, I believe David Power might have shouted that one out in his Patreon Extraordinaire in his choices of top three. So
Very cool.
A little bit of love there in the Facebook community as well. My number 9 is another one. Probably the only other one on my list where it's not, maybe it's one other one, not that clean. It's not that
Yeah, this
impressive.
Should be a quirky fight list in my opinion, but go ahead.
But it is one that was way back in episode 18 was on my list as well because it's so fascinatingly shot. Mm. And it's from 2003's Old Boy. It's the corridor scrolling.
I knew you'd have this on
So, now, rewatching it, it's not that an impressive fighting at all. Right, and it's a whole bunch of guys got weapons.
Yeah.
And like you just described, he's disarming most of them.
He's got a hammer
occasionally,
at some stage.
Yeah, he picks up a hammer and he's whacking around with that, but he throws it down and then the last half of the fight is just him with fists.
Yeah.
Just smacking the shit out of people as they come at him with various whatsoever. What I really like about the scene is, other than the way it's shot, which is that sort of three and a half minute one shot scrolling sideways.
That's the big thing about this. It's like this green scene, but go on,
It wasn't meant to be a throwback to sideways scrollers, but apparently that was the unintentional effect. It's just, it's a really unique way of shooting this. And it got in my list. It was on my honorable mentions initially, but I lost it out loud laughing. This is such a weird thing to put it here on. But
what?
There's one of the 30 dudes who he's fighting against.
Yeah.
Who, for whatever strange reason, they're advancing towards him. One of the best things about this fight, I should add, is that we don't wait for one, you know, one at a time.
Yes, they're all on his ass.
A really shitty fight scene is where, for inexplicably, bad guys run at the hero
one at a time,
Bruce and give him Lee. Time to react and blah blah blah.
Absolutely. Right?
So in this one, they're coming en masse at him, and whatever. At one point, they literally overwhelm him and just start kicking the shit out of him. Problem is, the kicks don't look very effective.
Now I see why you put this on here, and for novel reasons, and the fact that it's like. Absolutely. It deserves to be on a list, okay? The actual fight itself, if you look at it, it's not that great, but what a lot of the moves are, there's a guy who swings like a pole at him,
pole. 4x2.
Yeah. But he misses almost every single time. And I mean, he misses by a mile and hits the wall, right? So, and fine, I understand how that works. So you've got to get other stuntmen in front of him. So he has to be moving while you're doing something and connecting. So that's all very cool. For what it is, because the guy is clearly not an action star, right? He's a bit of a tubby, like, weird guy, right? And but I think that's the point. He even gets stabbed at one stage in like the last quarter of the part.
And the only part of that scene is the stabbing is CG.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know CG at all. So there you go. It actually worked pretty well. So, okay, but yes, but it is
Choi Min Sik.
Okay, yeah, good one. but yes, I understand what you mean. But look, I see why you have it on here. I totally understand.
But the funny bit I was referring to is there's one random guy amongst the faceless masses who they're all coming at him. And he stops and pauses just in the frame of shot and rips off his shirt before running at him.
What?
Why would you do that?
just expose myself more to this guy.
Like, yeah, okay, he's well built. He's a muscular looking fella. Not beefcake, but quite sinewy.
I wonder if that was a set thing. It's like, okay, do we want to see him take it off? Or is like, yo, take off your we're already shooting. Just take it off and run.
Well, apparently this took 17 takes over 3 days. So this is the one that worked. Clearly, he didn't just do that for take 17 and not the other one.
Yeah, you're right. He'd meant to do that shit and they meant to have him do it. Okay, interesting.
That was my 9.
Nice one. My number 9, very recent film, but I was impressed at it. It's at my number 9. Black Widow. Fight scene between Yelena and Natasha.
Okay.
And
in the apartment. Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke briefly of this when we reviewed it, but it is an excellent fight scene because it actually did, for me, look as much as they can, real. It looked real. There's two people, similar height and weight, throwing each other around the house. All the punches were taken in a realistic way. Nobody punched anyone across a room or anything like that. It was just, do you know what I mean? And at times, one of the girls was thrown across the room. She was caught on a doorsill halfway through and smashed into it. And like it looked really like dirty. And I was like, yep, that's how it would work. And it looked really like cool as well. Because it was like, that was violent. Whoever just threw that woman across the room, she fucking caught it, man. I was like, oh shit, that hurt.
I'm going to sort of give a preview later in my list. I think I've got a better girl-on-girl fight scene, which is very similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You haven't seen that movie, so it's not fair
to you. Okay, cool. No, that's good. Well, that's the thing though. Like girl-on-girl fight scenes...
Stop laughing. No, stop laughing when I say girl. You dirty, dirty bastard.
Because it's like, you remember in Friends where like two girls started fighting and Joey's like, let's throw some spaghetti on them.
Inappropriate.
I know, and it's funny. So, you know, but as I say, like, yeah, this one was just fast. And it's always like, the interesting thing about the scene was that this was early in the film. So then these are the two leads. So you know neither of them are going to get killed. So how are you going to create tension? Well, it's with crazy and fucking action that engaged you. Good, and that's what got
well choreographed fight scene.
Definitely. So there you are. 9, nice. Black Widow. Right.
My number 8 is the first of the one-shot fight scenes.
I'm sure if you're doing that here, then we're going to have at least one cross-up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a few of them on my list. Mm-hmm. And it's the most staged of all fight scenes because it's a boxing match and it's from Creed.
Creed. Low, slightly low.
Yeah, 2015's Creed, the first fight that Donnie has as, I can't remember what his name is in the film, but
Adonis Johnson
is his official name, obviously, he's Creed's son, but he goes up against the Lion Soprano?
Yeah, the motherfucker with all the tattoos and shit.
Yep, and it's just, you don't realize it, and that's the genius of this, like, okay, we got this sort of one shot, you're in the ring with them. They touch gloves, the umpire tells, the ref tells them what to do and, you know, clean fight, blah, blah, blah. Listen to me at all times. Protect yourself at all times. Mm-hmm. Go. And it doesn't cut.
Nope.
And then it's the whole first round
yep.
into the corners after the first round. And only then, after, when we're into back into the corner, and do we see Rocky, we hear him yelling.
That's right.
Tie him up when he's getting hit and whatever else.
Absolutely.
And we hear the other corner yelling as well. But we don't, it never cuts to any of that shit, which is so novel and so different.
That was nuts.
So fucking cool.
My jaw dropped about 30 seconds in. I was like, they're still doing one fight. And then it's like, they.
One shot, you mean? Yeah,
yeah, one shot. That's right. One shot. And like you said, for them to finish the round, bing, go back to the
still
scene.
Not cut.
Still the same shot. Yep. Rocky's giving him notes, and then you see the guy
do this, do this, do this.
Back up, ting, and the. You know what's tough about this as well, right? Because when they're fighting, and imagine the blocking and how long it took him to do this.
God.
I have no idea, all right? But for you to, he's ducking and weaving, and he's throwing punches, but he's also slipping a punch. Here's the thing: to make a slip, or slipping means just jabbing your head right out of the way at the last second, and it goes past you but close to you. To actually make that look like a real fight. You have to, the other guy has to throw the punch really fast, right? And you have to slip perfectly. So you, if you fuck one of them up, you're starting again.
Yep.
And you get punched in the face, right? So it's like, that is amazing to look at and to actually see him. And he's also acting, he's like, come on, come on. You know what I mean? That must have just taken forever. It was the bomb, man. Blocking
exactly.
was the shit.
Good point. And what you said there was same for me. I remember my jaw dropping further and further as this went on and on and on. We get out of the break, we're back into it, and then Donnie finally lands across. And bang, the guy goes down. And even then afterwards, it's still the same one shot because we go back to their celebrations and it follows sort of Rocky over as he goes to sort of say congratulations, gets waved away by the corner, and then Donnie's girlfriend jumps in and
it was,
you know,
like,
and it's all that one shot.
If anyone misses one cue, and how many times would you go, oh, that first fight went away, and then start the next fight, oh, you fucked something up, start all again.
Yeah, I can't admit to doing a lot of research, but I didn't find the easy answer to how many takes it was. So.
Nah, it's like... But at least 4 minutes, right? This thing?
Yeah, it's 4.5 minutes.
4.5 minutes. So, yeah, insane. Nice work.
Thank you. Over to you for your number eight.
My number eight is, as if it would surprise anyone, Winter Soldier. Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Okay, which one?
Wait, not the knife flip, because there's too much knifey shit in there.
Yeah, a knife flip by definition is not hand-to-hand.
Well, I know. But like, if you could argue, oh, it was only there for a second. It was actually there for quite a long time. And people shoot guns as well. So that scene, unfortunately, is out. However, this scene is not. It's the fight between Black Panther, Bucky, and Captain America. So it is... It happens in like
the elevator?
That's when him alone. That would have been a good one, though. So this fight happens in like the first half of the film, and it starts when Cap and Bucky are in like an apartment, and then the police are trying to catch him, and they both SWAT teams and helicopters and shit. Bucky jumps out the window, lands like four stories below on a roof of another building. Black Panther follows him, then Captain America. Now, it's actually a fight between sort of two guys first, Black Panther and Bucky. Immediately, you can see that Black Panther is like better by far than Bucky, who was previously killing everyone and like, holy shit like that. And blocking every punch and kick and having like just better agility, bouncing off things and kicking him. Very, very cool looking. Then when Captain America comes in, it does actually like devolve. They go through the floor and it becomes sort of a car chase after that. So that's not the part I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fight bit, right?
And that's a bit when Black Panther's on his feet.
On his feet, running chasing, and getting shot at by the helicopter and shit like that. And it's like, I don't know. It's,
you know,
just,
keeping up with the car as he runs after it.
That was the shit, that part as well. But like, I don't know why the athleticism that I saw on Black Panther this time was good. And it was because Bucky was previously the bad guy, but he had just turned. Now I feel for Bucky, because what happened was he woke up finally and was like, oh shit, maybe I did, and you know, was mind controlled or whatever. But then everyone's still after him because he killed the King of Wakanda and shit like that. So that's why this
is Civil War, you said.
This is Winter Soldier. No, this is Civil War.
Civil War, Civil War. Because Black Panther's not in Winter Soldier.
Sorry, yes. Civil War, yes.
In my head, something wasn't computing.
Yes, you're right. That's why the book. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Winter. Sorry, Civil War. great weekend.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
You can decide for yourself whether it's me or Wayne on those crazy pills,
and I will accept all of your opinions.
My number seven is another one shot, absolute extraordinaire. It was also on my list way back in episode 18. It has withstood the test of time. Not many of the films have made it over here from 2005. It's Tony Jaa. Running up the multi-level club, whatever
thingy,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, in The Protector.
Oh, The Protector.
Have you seen it?
I saw people talking about The Protector, and I thought they were talking about this Jackie Chan film that he made. It's a really shit American Jackie Chan.
Oh, the one where he's looking after the kids.
I think so. No. It's not like a kid's show. It's actually like, it's got fannies in it and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
It's horrible. Oh my God, my mom was in the room. There was a fanny. Ah, fanny. So anyway, sorry. It's not very good. Jack Chan, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, this one, he's chasing after his elephant idol and whatever else he is.
Yes, I remember you tell me about about this one.
And it's a one shot, starts at the foyer of, knocks two security guards out, walks in this foyer of this place, kind of goes up like at that four levels, I would say, fighting people as he goes. The problem with this scene is it's like a one punch, people go down. Now, maybe that's actually the way it would be, but in a fight film, it looks really fake.
Oh, really?
They run up to him and he just goes, they go down.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a couple of mad stunts where he will throw someone like off, literally, it stays on the ground on the first floor. He disappears out of view and the camera cranks up.
Really?
And then you suddenly sort of see someone explode through the banister and land on the floor right in front of the camera. I'm like, I didn't see no cut? No cut. A, no cut, but B, no ripple on that floor. I think they just threw a guy off one story and he landed on his back. I'm like, holy shit.
Is it Hong Kong cinema?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thailand?
Yeah, even worse. They would just throw motherfuckers around and go, make sure you catch that. Right? That happens heaps of times.
Yeah, so that's really, really impressive. It's mainly for the staging of the camera. So the martial arts themselves aren't as impressive, but do it again, like you say, in one shot, 4-minute take, and then he gets into a, if you want to call it the same scene, then there's a traditionally sort of edited fight, so he fights one really good dude and three or four of his cronies when he gets to sort of whatever level he's at. That's a bit more of that what you expect to see from a Asian martial arts film, but this is so unique and so well put together for a really low budget film too. Just hats off to everybody involved.
The Protector, you say?
Yep.
Okay, not bad. I really don't know what Jackie Chan when I was talking about. There you go.
The Jackie Chan one I was referencing was The Spy Next Door or something.
Oh, fuck that shit. No. Man, that sucked.
My daughter loves it.
Yeah, there's one called The Tuxedo with Jackie Chan.
With Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And he's just him. The tuxedo fights for him. Yep. What the fuck? This is so shit. Anyway, sorry. My number 7, for what it's worth, speaking of Jackie Chan, is actually called Meals on Wheels. Sorry, Wheels on Meals.
Someone mentioned that.
Yeah, now at least one guy, at least Wheels gave, he reeled it to me, but someone else mentioned it too. Okay. I was a young fool who did martial arts when I was like, 17, 18, 19, right? And in the 90s, everyone, when you were doing martial arts, everyone knew about the famous martial arts people. And Benny the Jet Urquidez is one guy who was, if you look at this fight scene that I'm talking about, very small, right? But he can kick like a motherfucker. Like, he can kick faster than people can punch, which is kind of crazy, right?
Whoop-a!
That's right. Exactly how it went. I can't believe you had an actual good sound that you dropped in here. Well done. Anyway, he's called the Jet, obviously, because he's fast. And in this scene, you got him and Jackie Chan busting ass on each other. It is possibly the fastest fight I've seen on screen.
Wow.
It's just, it's like, almost can't follow it. It's like, whoa, what the hell? And it's old school bash bash sound effects because it's an old movie, right? But whatever, it's still actually amazing. So there's actually one slow-mo bit, right? Where it's supposed to be the culmination of the fight. It's like, bang, Jackie Chan punches Benny. And then they cut out to a slow-mo, him doing the most far away missed completely, not even near the guy punch. And I'm like, why did they slow-mo that part?
So, No.
The technique was not perfect, but the fight itself is crazy impressive.
Okay. Very nice. I haven't seen that one, so I can't really comment much
about
it.
Yeah, it's a lot of those.
Speaking of, here is where my girl-on-girl action happens, Wayne.
Bring it.
Restrain yourself. Well done. This is from the 2020 film called The Hunt. Now, if you've seen this film, it basically follows a bunch of people who are effectively kidnapped and let loose in back of nowhere, and then literally other humans start hunting them and murdering them.
So is this like that Ice Tea movie?
Yeah, Surviving the Game. But imagine a whole bunch of randoms rather than just one special ops dude who's a bit more sport. Betty Gilpin is the main character. She plays Crystal. Now, spoilers for this particular film.
Spoilers.
All the way to the end, basically. She tracks down the leader of this whole gang of hunters and whatever. And I won't get into the politics behind what goes on, but it's different than what you might expect.
Okay.
And she's played by Hilary Swank.
Oh, radio. Oh, really?
Who looks pretty good for her age, I've got to say.
Hilary Swank is still young, man. She was like a dude. And then she was in...
Million Dollar Baby. Million Dollar Baby in 2004, dude.
So how old is she?
She's at least our age, if not older.
Yeah. I still want to fuck people our age. It's fine.
Sure. Well, my point is, I was surprised.
Okay. Anyway. Looking particularly good.
So Betty Gilpin versus Hilary Swank in a... It starts in a kitchen in this rich mansion. And it is one of those scenes where they're just constantly grabbing shit to smash over each other's head and whatever else. It's a not mano a mano, but girlo
so
fight to the
girlo
death.
Girlo.
And it's awesome. There are some really, really good moments in it. It's like a six-minute fight scene. They go through the whole house.
Is it like how just normal people who happen to be girls would fight, or is it a skilled ass fight scene?
No, they're both shown to have some skills. Okay. I mean, not like they're martial artists, but
there's some training.
And look, it's edited and whatever else. The first minute or so, I'm like, it's a bit too edited. But as it goes, it gets better and better, and it gets cleverer and cleverer the way it sort of transpires. And the final moment is hard to swallow, but in terms of believability, but it's a cool moment for the film that you're in.
I'm going to look up just that scene.
It's absolutely worth watching on the YouTube. Tube. But there's a couple of really genuinely awesome moments where I was like, okay, first of all, at one point, the bad Hilary Swank grabs like a hunting rifle and she takes two shots and literally the other chick says, "You're getting a fucking gun? You're a cheating whore," as she runs as he's shooting at her because like, only got two shots, this sort of hunting rifle. So she's trying to reload it, gets one shell in and then Crystal comes back, confronts her, they're fighting, you know, again, hand-to-hand wrestling.
Yeah.
She gets the it's unbreached, so it's unloaded.
Yeah.
Gets her arm up. She basically closes it over her arm. So it's really vicious, that kind of thing.
Shit.
And then they end up having jumped, thrown each other through a window. They're out in the backyard.
Yeah.
And it looks like Crystal's going to throw Hilary Swank through another glass door out of the back into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And she goes, "No, no, not the glass again." And it kind of lets her open the door and walks her through.
Really?
It just works in the
same. Okay. I'll look at that. That looks good. All right, sounds good. Okay, cool.
Just 5 minutes of pure mayhem. Great, great scene.
I'm down. Word. What was it called again?
The Hunt.
The Hunt. Cool. My number six is actually Creed, bro. So that's where we put that. Okay. So we're back to you.
My number five is the one which Nicholas Haskins will now go on a diatribe about and how much he hates this film. Mm. It is, of course, the knockdown brawl between two very big dudes in Rowdy Roddy Piper and Keith David in They Live.
Okay, let's just talk about this for a second. I saw this on many people's lists. Yep. I watched it again today in 4K.
So good.
All right, no, hang on a sec. I know from... And I wanted to watch it again, but then I didn't. So I know Rowdy Roddy Piper is trying to get him to wear these glasses so you can see the aliens.
See the real world and what we are, what the wool's being pulled over our eyes. And Frank is just refusing. He's just saying, "Nah, get fucked." Keith David's like, "Nope, not doing this shit." And he tries to make him, and they get into all kinds of... It's just lots of little wrestling moves in amongst two really big dudes throwing haymakers at each other. There's a moment where a 4x2 he smashes the car window next to Keith David, who is like, "The fuck?" And then literally, Rowdy Roddy Piper starts laughing because he's like, "Oh, Jesus, I went too far. Fuck, I'm so sorry, man," he says. Keith David's holding a bottle in his hand, which he smashes on the car and then throws it away and then launches himself at him. It's a good moment where like, "Oh, we went too far here, but I'm going to beat the fuck out of you for almost doing that," you know?
I'll have to watch it again. I will have to watch it again. This is obviously, again, this is your horror people shit. It's a horror movie.
It's a sci-fi film. I don't really know if it's a horror. There's not a lot of gore and whatever in this film whatsoever. So sci-fi thriller.
Just out of interest, in They Live, give that movie a score.
4 stars.
4 stars. So 80. Boom. Yeah, that's huge. Okay, fine.
So it's the guy who just gave the film we review this week the score he gave.
It was King Dick, son. There's no way that was as good as this.
You're right. There's no way that film was as good as They Live.
Fuck off. Okay. Nice one. My number five. Man, I was talking to someone about my love for this actor who everyone does not agree with. Mission Impossible Fallout.
It looks on my own mentions.
Okay, so the fight scene between Tom Cruise, the Asian dude, and Henry Cavill. I didn't look up the Asian dude's name, but he is a stuntman, and in this movie he played Asian dude.
In Wayne's World.
Now, this is the bomb, not only because... I'm talking about the white-ass bathroom and the three dudes beating each other's ass up. But, okay, apart from how cool that looked, and the mix of martial arts skills from the Asian dude, so brute force coming from Henry Cavill just busting ass like a boxer, skill coming from the Asian dude cocking his arms, right? Asian dudes doing martial arts, and Tom Cruise is somewhere in the middle, right? These guys are getting... The heroes are getting the ass handed to him. Mm-hmm. That's what's unusual about this film. He is whooping this shit, and they even throw him through the mirrors and shit like that. Looked wicked that whole fight. And in fact, this dude had the drop on these two motherfuckers. One of them, Superman. And the only reason they fucking lived is because fucking Beck Fergferg came up and dropped the fucking... He just shot his ass, right? So this whole scene and this movie is the fucking dog's bollocks, man. Straight up. So,
great
film.
It's a good scene. I totally
Mission
understand.
Impossible Fallout.
With your love for the T to the C. On your list now. I'm going to shock some people with my number four. My number four is The Raid. Low, right?
Dude, wait. Are we talking about the end fights here?
Yes.
Fuck off, man. Yeah, okay. It's low as shit. Oh, my God. Low as hell, man. What has he got up his anus?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's on your list as well?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Now, look, if you took fight scenes plural and we took out the hand-to-hand modifier, this is my number one.
Right? Are you saying it's colored because it has some...
There's a lot of fights. Like I'm saying, if we collectively gather the fight scenes, there is no better action martial arts film in my mind than The Raid.
Yeah.
Full stop. But we went scene, okay? So...
Go on.
In that last fight scene, which is like you just described for Mission Impossible, it's the two main, well, one hero, a guy who turns out to be his ally, versus the big bad, well, no, the big bad guy's henchman, who's the best fighter
ever
in the film.
Mm-hmm.
So Mad Dog is, we show how good he is where he kills another major character about halfway through the film, and effortlessly, he wins comfortably.
Yeah.
Now he's up against Rama and... The other guy, I'm being vague for sports. Don't know why it's a 10-year-old film. You don't want to. Who cares?
Just say the other guy. Anyway,
I can't remember the other guy's name. What's his? Andy. So Rama and Andy versus Mad Dog, and Mad Dog's totally holding his own.
Not only that, at the beginning of the fight, he kind of like shoos them aside, saying, "I'm going to stand between you. Then we can fight." I'm like, "What the fuck? This motherfucker's a gangster."
And Rama, who's been kicking everybody's ass, like groups of people up to that point. I haven't really seen Andy do too much, but yeah, such a good fight. So many different moments, and Gareth Evans, like. To my mind, he is, at the moment, the best action fight scene director that we have working.
Agree.
There's a TV show, which you still haven't watched, I don't think, called Gangs of London.
Mm. He's on that.
There's a whole... He co-created it.
Oh.
There's a whole episode which basically, I want to say, devolves. It's like a 30-minute kind of away from the main plot.
Okay.
Which just turns into one of... It's like the Raid-level action sequence with guns and shit and whatever.
Really?
Which just does away with a whole side plot.
I saw the first episode. I might just continue.
That show.
No,
that
it looked
show.
Good. It looked good for myself.
It's a really good show, but that scene, I wasn't even at half mast, Wayne. I was at three quarter mast.
Three quarter. Smacks himself in the face.
Anyway, back to The Raid. So there are so many different moves, and it's just that camera, the way he stays with the action, the camera cans, it does whatever else, but you never lose your place in this frenetic, frantic battle between
three
people.
You can see everything that's going on.
It's so well choreographed, so well put together. This budget was minuscule, right?
Which is amazing to me because, like, obviously they didn't have an OH&S person on set.
No, it's an Indonesian film.
That's right.
So it's a Scottish guy, a Welsh guy, sorry, I think, directing an Indonesian film.
Yeah, which is already, like, weird, right?
It is, but, like, I don't think you could do what he does with stuntmen in Hollywood.
No way. There would be unions.
Or stunt people, they'll be like, no, too fucking dangerous. There are moments in this film and the sequel where... I see what looks to be a random stuntman thrown or move or whatever. And when he reacts as he slams into something, I don't reckon that's acting at all.
Absolutely not. And it's actually well known in all sorts of cinemas from Asia and stuff like that, that for the slow-mos, like the close-ups, I'm actually going to hit you. Right. I need to see your face rock and your, you know, that sort of shit. Otherwise, it won't look right. And they go, yep, let's go. Okay. Boom.
Amazing.
Right?
Amazing.
So, and sorry, just real quick on this one.
Please.
There's one move in this fucking thing where one of the good guys has one of the bad guys in a headlock, right? And the bad guy's like flailing in the air and stuff. You're like, oh, cool, whatever. The bad guy manages to flip the good guy who's got him in a headlock by jumping in the air and allowing his feet to fall between the bad guy's, the good guy's feet.
Yeah, okay.
And just by momentum he's throwing. I'm like, what the fuck? That's not real. Like, I don't know, but it's real because they're doing it for real. No wires. So very, very cool.
Love this film.
And it goes forever.
One of my absolute... It's 5 minutes, give or take. Five to 6 minutes.
Yeah. And you think... That's why you're like, oh, shit, when's it going to end? What's going to... Nope, that's not it.
Eventually gets taken down by a piece of broken fluorescent lighting.
That's right. Which still went for a while after that happened.
Yeah, he's still fighting with that sticking out of his neck.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Nice. All right, cool.
Okay. My number four is Atomic Blonde.
Low.
Okay. All right. So I'm talking about the fight scene on the stairwell, everyone. It's like a sort of square stairwell and... Look, there is a little gunplay at the beginning of the fight.
Yep. There's also a little bit of knife play in there too.
A little bit of knife play and sort of peppered throughout.
But I took this whole sequence. This whole one shot.
Because it takes fucking forever. It's a one shot, dude. This one
Six
shot.
6.5 minutes.
Insane. And you know what? It's so brutal that it's actually hard to watch for me. I'm sitting there going, because it's not that economical movement, like, you know, we're saying a clean, like slick fight scene.
It feels real.
It feels real because you're watching, it's actually distressing watching her get more and more hurt. As she dispatches the bad guys, and she's screaming and grunting and doing the fight, the actual stunts herself. We know she got her something fucked up real bad in her face. Charlize Theron's face got fucked up. What a
Jesus
tragedy.
Christ.
I know, I think she got her tooth or something. Something like that, right? That happened. And as she's throwing more and more sloppy punches and kicks as it's going on, because she's knackered and everyone's getting fucked up as well, the camera's swooping through the fight scene because it's doing, like, it's just trying to catch it all, and it does it so well.
David Leitch directed this scene, and Jesus, good.
Dude.
So you just, like you described it, you feel it all. I felt like you every punch, every kick, every fall, mm-hmm. it's like, oh. There are so many moments where someone's thrown, yeah, yep. it's not just her, but the bad guys too, or the thugs that are trying to Absolutely. Kill her as well. Some of that falling down the stairs shit, I'm like, holy crap, how did they do that?
Again, yeah, and if you miss that cue, it's like, well, everyone's going to fall down the stairs again. And it hurts, man. I'm saying, yeah. how do you
I mean, the cuts are in there. You can when the camera gets really close to someone, what else? Absolutely, there's a cut there. So it's not absolutely a no, one-shot.
Presented as a one-shot, though, but still.
So well choreographed, so well put together.
You know, I didn't actually notice the cuts. Okay. I was looking there. Out for them, but they definitely will be there. But that's...
And there's just the way she sells it, too, I think really is what adds this scene for me. There's a couple totally. Of moments where she's getting up, where she staggers. At a moment which felt so authentic.
Yes. No, she makes excellent choices.
Yeah.
Like, she's fucking the shit. And, you know, at the end, she sort of ends it with a corkscrew, shall we say. And even that took a while. Like, I was like, oh, you know, it was good. And even after a seven-minute long fight, I'm still being a
bitch. Who's your bitch now, whatever she
Yeah, said. That's what she said. Am I still your bitch? Like, yeah. You know, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just think this is an amazing scene. It was the first one I watched in my prep for this show.
I didn't even think about it until
Instantly
later on.
Instantly went on my list, and I'm like, and then I, you know, I was shuffling around based on, and it just wound up at number two because I'm like, so good.
Yeah, and I take
I'll just give that away. But anyway.
Yeah, no, this was. And I forgot about it until I was like just doing research. Oh, that one! How can I forget that one? Yeah, great show.
Okay, All right. So that's your four. My number three, and you're gonna spew at this.
Okay,
my number three is the Night Comes for Us final battle scene.
Three!
You are the only person in the world doesn't like this movie.
No, there's one other motherfucker, and I do believe it's Troy. Or someone. I can't Maybe. Remember. Someone actually said, Speak yeah, up. It was a bit shit. Whoever said to me, whoever agreed that I thought the fight scenes, though, look, I'm not saying they were low-skilled fight scenes. I'm saying they didn't work. I was like, something. There's something
Whatever
technically wrong
Whatever drugs
you're
on,
this.
Man.
I'm just saying,
Pass
man.
Them around for the rest of this, because this is 8 minutes long, this scene. And it is brutal. It's bloody. It's gory. But some of the moves, some of the inventive shots by the director, Timo Chajanto, I don't know if he was saying his name properly.
Beautiful.
Yep. But so basically, it's Joe Taslim from The Raid.
Yep.
Who's, I can't remember his name, but he's the sergeant who kind of gets killed halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy versus Ako Yoweis, again, from
yeah.
The Raid.
Yeah.
And these two guys are so fucking good. And it's that inventive use of what's around. They're in a workshop and just about every sort of surface, every bit and piece that you can imagine, circular saws, whatever else gets used. They're stabbing each other through the face. They're doing this shit. But it's just the moves they use to get in and out of things, the canting of the camera. The camera follows them down. It's not as well directed as Gareth Evans' stuff, but there's enough uniqueness, like including kind of following a punch in at one point,
yeah,
which keeps it interesting visually, as well as these guys are wailing on each other, and just the way they get out of particular holds and whatever else shouldn't be humanly possible. It's probably not, but for the purposes of
it's a movie. Exactly.
It looks so fucking good.
I'm trying to remember. I actually want to sort of look at that again to see what – I'm trying to remember what my exact problem was with the scenes, because I remember going, this is an action blockbuster, but I'm not buying this for some reason, and I can't remember
Well, this
why.
Is the end of the film. So if you were checked out, you were checked out already.
Yeah.
But I reckon if you watch just this scene, you might go, whoa, Maybe. That's pretty good.
You know what? I'm just going to do it after this.
Yeah, okay.
All right, cool. My number three, we talked about Tony Jaa previously,
mm-hmm.
but this is Ong Bak, is the original movie that he was in.
Okay.
I do believe it was his breakout. It's a Muay Thai. He's a Muay Thai guy.
He went crazy and ran off into the jungle or some shit.
Is that what happened? Yeah, I heard something
had
like
a breakdown.
That. Really? You know why? Because he destroyed his body in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was like... He's all elbows and knees, right? But in the best way possible. So this is a really brutal ass style. And I remember Tony Jaa was famous for back in the day. He could jump over a car from a standing position. Like he was that, like, what the fuck? Right? So crazy athletic. The whole scene, he's taking out tons of people in a cave is what I'm talking about. So it was the end of Ong Bak. This scene reputedly involved zero wire work or Usha or whatever. I sort of, if you look at it, there's got to be one or two of those wires because there's no way he could hang in the air quite that long.
Right, right.
But I don't know. Anyway, all the moves are, he's like, he just launches himself towards people. Two knees first, then drops his elbows on the top of your head. And he's riding you as you're scaling back. Like, what the fuck is that? He even blocks kicks with other kicks. That's how fast this motherfucker is. So it's like, oh, and high. And talking like, so it's like, I don't know. It's really, really cool. And it was, at the time, one of the things we aspired to as young dickhead martial arts dickheads.
Yeah.
All which right. always failed. All failed.
Nice. I think I've seen this movie. I can't remember much of it. So
it's, again, it's like that sort of the low budget Thai thing. Yeah. And it, because
well, very, very early.
Well, because they have no budget and no safety people, you're actually watching people get fucked up. So it's like, oh, shit. So there you are.
All right, we're going to bounce right back to you because, as I already revealed, my number two is Atomic Blonde's scene that you mentioned.
Not bad. All right. Okay, so I struggle a little bit with my number two, and the reason it's this high on the list, a lot of people have an issue with it. I'm not sure. It's the Bourne Ultimatum, and it's the bathroom fight.
Ooh.
I know. You think it's
shaky high? Cam.
Yes. Now, Paul Greengrass got a lot of heat for all the shaky cam.
Well, did he get a lot of heat, or was he the first person to do it and pioneered it and made it sort of gritty and different?
Well, I remember going, no, shaky cam was already a term when I looked at it and went, ugh. But now this is actually choreographed by, his name is Jeff Enmada. He's a fight choreographer who's very kind of famous. And there's no music throughout this fight. It's Matt Damon fighting in very close quarters, jumping through a window to get there and fighting this dude who's fucking King Dick. The guy he's fighting is so good that I was like, I actually thought to myself, I'm not sure if Jason Bourne will win this fight on his own, you know? So it became like so novelly cool. This guy, there's a knife in here which he has to deal with and then he disarms him. But there's one bit where Matt Damon locks a guy's arms and he's like twisting his arm and he's like, okay, that should be the end of the fight because now I can stroke you. This guy, the only way to normally get out of a lock is to bash the guy's foot or hurt him or some way and just wiggle out of it. This guy just flips the way that he was already going to be twisted and gets out of the lock that way. And I'm like, what? And as he did it, the camera racks in slightly as he does the flip in slow-mo. Fucking magical, man.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've always loved this shit. It does look cutty because of a bit of shaky stuff, but I think it worked. The car scene with the shaky stuff, not so much.
Worked a lot for you to be your number two. Hot
there you
damn.
Go, man. I'm telling you.
All right, well, I think we know what your number one is. I'm about to reveal my number one.
Yes, we do.
So, counting backwards, though, first of all, 10 through 2. Number 10, the bus scene from Nobody. 9, the corridor scene from Old Boy. 8, the one-shot fight in Creed. 7, Tony Jaa kicking ass through the club in the one-shot in The Protector. Number 6, the final boss fight, basically, between Crystal and Athena in The Hunt. Number 5 is John Nardar versus Frank Armitage. Knockdown fucking brawl in the back alley in They Live. Number 4 is The Raid, the big fight at the end between Mad Dog, Rama, and Andy. The Night Comes For Us is Ito versus Ariane. The fight, again, final fight scene in The Night Comes For Us. So we mentioned that. Number 2 is Atomic Blonde stairwell fight scene one shot. And my number 1, easily in the end, when I rewatched this back today, I was stupefied. How good it was.
Interesting.
As much as I don't think this film is as good as the first one, it's The Raid 2. It's the final fight in The Raid 2. Now.
Interesting, because I also watched this today.
There are 3 scenes that just basically go one after the other, right? And so for the purpose of this, I'm saying it's one big, massive action scene, which goes for basically 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And the first one, he rolls through the warehouse and starts killing all the random nobody
men. Cannon fodder, yep.
Knocking them out and whatever else in that Gareth Evans amazing sort of style of. And then he comes up against Hammer Girl and Baseball Batman in the corridor. And even though he's not using their weapons, they are.
Yeah.
And he defeats both of them.
Fucks the girl up.
Yeah, kills the girl, but particularly the way he kills Baseball Batman is awesome and so well shot.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
And then you think, can't get any better. And he comes up against the assassin. And it is that kitchen fight scene, which I use the GIF for, where they slid in next to each other.
Oh, yeah, the slide in, yeah. And that bit where they slide in and they're slowly, like, they're edging their feet towards you. I'm like, because I actually know what that is, and that's them doing the fucking, they're getting into the stance. It's like, you see people do it, but not when they're actually about to fight. You see it when they're just getting into the stance.
Right.
I was like, ooh, that was an interesting choice. Like, ooh, that's fucking cool.
Such a good fight scene. It uses every bit of this rich kitchen, including the place where you store all the wine, all that stuff, and throw And then the guy pulls out the knives in the last third of the fight.
Yeah.
And he's using the knife against Rama till Rama finally gets one of the knives. And then it does become a knife scene in the last 45 seconds or so.
Yeah.
And kills him. So good.
It's interesting that you mention this because Man and Woman's The Raid, the original Raid.
Yeah,
part,
I think
that's
what you said before. Yep.
And I'm like, first of all, it's fine for that you put them both in there. I was just like, let's not do that. Let's pick one or the other, right?
Yep. And I wanted to do that. And then I watched it, but I cannot let, this is the best martial arts action films to my mind. Now, I'm sure there are some 70s films where people will be able to say, oh, this film, Bruce Lee filmed this one.
What, no! Absolutely not. The action back then was not shot like it is now or better than it is now. Like that's why I fucking hate Enter the Dragon.
Right. Look, I'm sure some classicists will say that.
Yes.
Right? And fair enough, you're entitled to your opinion, no problem at all. But for me, I've never had my jaw drop so far as watching these scenes. Even watching them again, I don't like The Raid 2 as much. It's too big. It's too sprawling. There's too much talking and whatever. But when the fights happen in The Raid 2, they are astounding. The prison fight scene's one of my favorites as well. I love that brawl in the mud and all that shit.
Oh yeah, that was nuts.
But even that gets overshadowed. The fight in the car when he gets saved by it's whipping in and out of the car. That's incredible too. But this final fight scene is the best final fight scene I've ever seen put to film.
Is it just like it's him and just one? It's one on one, isn't it? It's not like the other one where there's two of
them. Ike Uwais, to my mind, is the greatest martial arts action star. Now, he doesn't have the acting range of Jackie Chan or Jet Li or anything like that, sure. But just in terms of how
he
moves.
No, he kind of does.
I think they are better.
Jet Li is actually better because of the Lethal Weapon shit and everything. Like, he's actually better.
But
right?
Just his movements are so fluid. And so, and maybe Jackie Chan would kick his ass and maybe Jet Li would kick his ass too. But the way it looks on camera to me, it's just so well filmed, choreographed and put together.
No,
I would have him in every martial arts film or action film ever.
It's better produced, that's for sure. Yeah, I looked at this one as well and just went, I just went the other way because the other one made me more on edge because it never ended. Sure. But this is, no doubt, this could have been my number two.
All right.
There you go.
Cool. Give us your 10-3-1 then, Wayne, just for Troy to help him out because he's such a good bloke. He's been helping us out.
You're my man, Troy. Number 10 was Nikolai versus the Chechens in Eastern Promises. 9, Black Widow, the two chicks. 8, Civil War. Black Panther, Bucky, and Captain America.
Yep.
7, Wheels on Meals. Number 8, Creed. 5, Mission Impossible Fallout. 4,
did you say Atomic... number 8, Creed? Or number 6, Creed?
Did I not say number 6, Creed?
Hopefully you did. Hopefully I misheard you.
Who knows? Number 4, Atomic Blonde. 3, Ong Bak. 2, The Bourne Ultimatum. And 1 is The Red Redemption.
There we are.
There you are.
Our list. Any other quick honorable mentions, Wayne? I just had, other than Mission Impossible Fallout, I just had Kill Bill Volume 1's The Bride versus Venetia Green.
I wanted to, I toyed with the idea of putting the Bridget Jones fight in here, like I think I did last time.
Yeah.
And I still enjoy watching those, but no, they're not the best.
All right, cool. And that's it for us. What about you? We wrap up every episode with what you thought about the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Off this week's Pop 10 with Joey DiCarlo from the excellent So Wizard podcast. Number 3, Jackie Chan versus Thug in Meals on Wheels.
Nice.
Is that the same one?
That's
you
the
had?
One.
The stairway fight scene from The Protector in a single take. That's the one I had. Number 1, the kitchen scene from The Raid 2, the best fight scene ever filmed. Don't care if they use knives for a little bit, it counts. B Dizzle from the We Watch the Thing podcast had, he actually asked, am I crazy if I had this before? Because Wayne had Bridget Jones in his list.
There it
that
is.
Stuck out.
There
in
it is.
One. Number 3, the restroom scene in Mission Impossible Fallout. 2, the bus scene in Nobody. And number 1, Jackie Chan versus the gang in Rumble in the Bronx.
Nice. By the way, The Protector was a Jackie Chan film that I was looking at.
There you go.
So there you are. Okay, keep going.
Good. Number, this is Troy Spinner, the aforementioned from the Comic Confidential podcast. He said, the Raid 2 kitchen fight scene is hands down one of the greatest fight scenes ever put on film. The way the fight gets more intense as the score builds is Italian Chef's Kiss. Good point. I should have made that point about the score. Excellent. Well done, Troy. Knives are involved, sure, but not for the entire thing, so it bloody well counts.
No, it counts. It totally counts.
David Powell, he went a little bit left to center. He said, gross point blank, Martin versus Benny the Jet.
Urquidez. That's the same guy that was in Wheels on Wheels, but much older.
Eastern Promises bathhouse scene. There you are, Wayne. Number 2. And
Boom.
Number 1, this is clearly your vote, Mission Impossible Fallout bathroom scene. Some sink and moustache.
Pimped out.
Usage.
Pimped out.
Moustache usage. Adam Allure, top level patron of the show. Thank you, Adam. Said Rocky versus Apollo Creed in Rocky 3. Number 2, Liu Kang versus Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat. And number 1, Neo versus Agent Smith in The Matrix OG. Minus the guns of bullet time. Lol.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Cool. Nice.
You mentioned Will Scaife said Wheels on Meals again. Yep. Mm-hmm. The Raid Redemption 2011 final fight scene, the one that we both had on this. And Ong Bak, the first fight scene.
Oh, the first fight scene?
Don't know what that one was.
Interesting.
Yeah. Jonathan Slander said, I am a bit of a connoisseur of the fight scene, so I can't use weapons, so Duel of the Fates is out. Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris in Way of the Dragon goes from traditional 70s, my system is better than your system, to Bruce's way of introducing Jeet Kune Do, which in my opinion is what gives us MMA today.
Really? That's an interesting idea.
I may have said that wrong. I'm sorry,
John. No, you did say it right.
Okay, well, shit.
Well done.
From action movies, there are a few. Carl versus McClane, Mr. Joshua versus Rick. John, you can only have 3. There you go. That's where you go and others. But there is only really one fight scene. That's the old boy hallway fight scene for John. Ooh. And then he also, I'll just quickly mention, Fist of Legend, Jet Li versus the General is his number 1.
That one is kind of cool.
Chad Feckler said, number 3, the alley fight, Rowdy Piper versus Keith David from They Live.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, the bar fight scene in Secondhand Lions when old dude teaches young punks what he's got to be. How he's got to be, sorry, an old dude.
Secondhand Lions? I'm going to check that out.
And number 1, it's the Matrix-style fight set during the French Revolution in the movie Brotherhood of the Wolf. Mark Dacascos, who's playing a Native American Iroquois Indian, takes on 5 or 6 guys in the rain and mud, and it's just such a good scene. All slow motion and 360-degree rotations.
Marky D. All right. That's the old one.
Nick Orton said, every which way but loose. At least one, the main long fight, but Clint looks so tough in all his fights. Haywire, Gina Carano versus Michael Fassbender. And Steven Seagal, Nico, above the law. Be honest, guys, he burst on the scene. Every fight scene was awesome.
Yeah, look, he made a sensation. He was known for,
He got a bunch of films. So it wasn't his fucking winning personality.
No,
got him
he's
there.
His fucking asshole.
Dan said from 28 Days Later on Twitter said, the bowling alley scene in Gunpowder Milkshake.
Oh, wow. Paul's going to have a bit of an issue with that, everyone. Woo-hoo. I did quite like it.
Dan,
nice one.
Holy shit. The pawn shop fight scene in John Wick 3. I did rewatch that one. Too many knives.
Too many knives. It was all knives getting thrown at each other. Otherwise, I would have put
to
it
be
on
fair,
there.
Fair. We didn't specify that on Twitter.
That's
so,
fair,
yeah.
fair.
And the Stairway Fight and Topic Blonde was his number one. Nerdroverts, Jason, who is another patron of the show, as along with Dan. Thank you both very much. Bond versus Redin from Russia with Love. I couldn't.
I heard about this one. I'm going to look at that one. How could that be the best?
Bathhouse Fight, Eastern Promises, and Hallway Fight and Old Boy are his other two. Steven Super Retro Throwback says Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris in Way of the Dragon, Carl versus McLean in Die Hard, and the alley fight scene in They Live.
Carl versus McLean. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Last few to wrap it up then. From Luke James Human, Mickey versus Horace Anderson in Snatch. Is that one punch?
Yeah, it must be.
Could be. Okay. Rocky versus Clubber in, again, Rocky 3. Rama versus Hammer Girl / Baseball Batman / The Assassin in The Raid 2.
There you are.
Very nice. Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast said the alley fight and They Live, the Bourne Ultimatum fist fight in the apartment.
Yay.
And a Die Hard, John McClane versus Carl. And the last word will go to Brad, who's a patron of the show, but also on the Cinema Guys. Check out their great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The final fight in Roadhouse.
Have you watched that?
No, I have, but I can't remember it.
Oh, dude, after Patrick Swayze tears a guy's throat out, right? Yep. He then does the most shit roundhouse kick. It's like his leg is straight the whole time. Like, ha, boom, shit. And then he knocks the guy into the water.
The 10-minute fight up the stairs in Ong Bak. I wonder if that's, you meant the protector there, Brad, because I think that's the one I was talking about. And the stairwell fight is his number one in Atomic Blonde.
Boom.
There we are. Thank you so much. Everyone got back to us. Had a lot of feedback. I'm sorry we couldn't get through it all. We really, truly do appreciate it. Wayne, how do listeners let us know their feedback on the topic at hand or indeed anything else about the show?
Google the Countdown Podcast. You'll get us all down there. Or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show, a good way is by hitting us, looking at our merchandise selection.
Sure.
That is countdownmerch.com. It's linked in the show notes. But give it a go. You might like a t-shirt.
Hopefully it will be.
Oh, no. I always make sure it's on there.
Oh, you do it in the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yes, you can check that out. Another way, great way to support the show is leave a review. If you haven't yet, if you've been listening for a bit, leave us a review. You know, 5 stars is good. Wayne will be settled for 3. But, go higher. Go higher is what I suggest. And you can also check us out on Twitter at The Countdown PC. Like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. Check out ccradio.com.au for the other great shows that are part of the network, Comic Confidential, and Believe.
Booyah.
All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 337? Of the show.
Thank you for
I'll tell you
for me.
Already.
Yep, go ahead.
Here
go
it
ahead.
Is. It's the top 10 anticipated TV shows coming soon.
What is it you people, and we in this case, are looking forward to next, whenever, this year? I mean, who knows when shit's coming out anymore, right?
TV shows are all over the shop now with the streaming platforms and whatever else. You know, they don't just all drop around September, October as they used to back in the day. But that said, there seems to be a shit ton on the horizon that are of interest. And we're not just limiting it to new shows. We are allowing new seasons of perhaps old shows.
Yes, that could come in there.
That are coming back.
Because you're still looking forward to it, well. Maybe.
But it has to have not debuted as of recording next week. That's the only parameter that we're looking at.
Most def.
All right, so there we are. So a TV episode, which will mean the shithouse opener that for some reason everybody seems to love.
Well, I think some people like it. I wouldn't say everyone.
Yeah, like 4 people.
Four people like it.
Very vocal.
Vocal
about
minority,
it.
Yes.
Yeah, let us know how much you hate it. Maybe we'll record a new one where I don't sing. Anyway, that is it for us today. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. You know, when Wayne has a good list and one that you are like, really? There's only like one really dodgy choice on there. What I consider that to be is...
Inconceivable.
Penny. I'm trying to cancel it out.
We'll catch you next time.